This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me, Darius Thomas.
Why am I struggling today, Justin? There we go. Check, check, check. Recording.
Dominic Nwoko started working at the University of Georgia as a student because she was looking for something to do. You're not going to find her watching sports outside of work, but that's what's allowed her to bring a fresh voice and an outside perspective to her sports work. She designed Jalen Ramsey's signature chain and is currently working in the agency world with Vayner Sports.
Timed.is is where I'm going. And you're already recording, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Let's do 50.
We have to cut out like 6 seconds of this.
Yes, that is all me.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack, so if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Welcome everyone to the Creative Sports Podcast. We have a great guest here today. We have Dominic Nwoko. She is the Director of Creative Services at Vayner Sports. Dom, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
So I know a lot about you, having worked with you on some things and just being a fan for a while. But for those who don't, kind of give us a brief intro of who you are, where you are, and how you got there.
Okay, so I'm Dominique. I am a designer, photographer, and I currently work for Vayner Sports Agency as Director of Creative Services, as Darius said. So pretty much everything social media-wise and internal content, I, you know, oversee the look of it. And before I started working for the agency, I came from college athletics. So I worked for the University of Miami before as their senior creative designer. And so I handled everything creative for recruiting and for coaches in-house and external as well. And then before that, I was at the University of Georgia and I was a creative coordinator. And I handled, once again, all of recruiting, but also I did social and then for both of those jobs, I did a bunch of recruiting photo shoots. So pretty much everything under the sun that a sports program needs, I had a hand in touching at all of my jobs.
A lot of people either do the switch backwards. They start at an agency and then transition over to college sports. What have you seen as the biggest difference in working in those two areas?
I think that I'm fortunate enough to have worked in both, and I did it at more than one place for college athletics. At my first job, I got a pretty good understanding of how Georgia does it. Miami, I got a pretty good understanding of how they do it. And then switching to the agency side to see what the differences are has been pretty nice. They're more similar than I thought. You know, I thought, oh, you know, you're not going to have to do recruiting and stuff like that if you go for an agency. And of course, they recruit talent. So, and, you know, guys in college. So the mindset is kind of similar to recruiting high schoolers. It's just a lot more, I guess, working with agents in like a marketing department, because I didn't do that as much working college athletics. I worked more directly with the coaches and the recruiting staff. Working with an agency to me has been a little more forgiving time-wise, depending on like, you know, how many projects I'm getting and what I'm getting. The agents are usually pretty understanding of like, you know, oh, I have this meeting on the books for this far out. Can you get this to me in 4 or 5 days? Whereas in college, it's a little more like, you know, someone drops by your office and they're like, hey, I need this in like 2 hours, you know, and
or so 4 or 5 minutes, right?
Yeah. Or 4 or 5 minutes, you know, just whatever, whenever they need it, whenever they come to me, you know, basically get it done ASAP. And I kind of feel like the agency, what's been really nice is that I get a little bit more time with projects and a lot more flexibility with my schedule and also with creating things for, you know, based on timeline.
So where did that drive and interest in being a creative graphic designer, or because graphic design is your background and we can talk about that, but where did that come from? Like at an early age, where did it start?
So when I was younger, I always was super into just creative art, fashion, and things like that. I remember in first grade, we like, you know, in elementary school, you would have like book fairs, and there was this drawing book that I was super interested in. And I, like my sister, she's a year older than me. Her class got to go to the book fair first. So I was like, hey, when you go, can you please, please, please get me this book? I want to make sure I get it before, you know, no one else has it, or, you know, before it sells out. She got it for me. She dropped it off in my class. And that was like my first memory of like having something that was creative focused that I, you know, like had a desire to pursue, or like, you know, to create or do something with. And that's kind of like, I guess if I could pinpoint a moment in history, like that's when I was like, I knew I liked drawing and loved art more so than just like arts and crafts in elementary school. And when I was in sixth grade, my mom, she met this woman who ended up becoming my, just like by chance encounter at a store, she ended up becoming my private art teacher for drawing and painting from sixth grade until I graduated high school. So that entire time I did a lot of drawing, painting, and sculpting with her. She's an amazing artist. Her name's Harriet Richardson. And I still have a great relationship with her to this day, but she was the person who took my I would draw and paint cartoons on my own at home at my parents' house. And then she's helping me do these like amazing portraits with a bunch of different types of mediums, and really kind of just like expanding my knowledge and giving me a formal education in art. And then when I'm getting to college, I'm like, you know what? I love drawing and painting, but I was not at all sure how to turn that into a career for myself. So I kind of decided, you know what? I'm going to college. I want to major in something that I feel like I could have a sure career in. And I can always do drawing and painting on the side. And so I chose graphic design because I felt like that was the most in line with my skills. And also because I think around the time like Avatar the movie came out, I was super into like special effects and stuff like that, and creating art on my computer that like replicated or was like inspired by movies. And I would just sit on my computer for hours. So I'm like, you know what? I think I could be a graphic designer because I don't mind sitting here for literally 12 hours just clicking away and making something. So why not turn it into a major, or why not pursue that as my major? So that's how I got into graphic design.
We have something a little bit similar, as both of us worked at the University of Georgia, but we pretty much slightly missed each other. I left there in 17, I think 16.
Yeah, and I started August 2016.
I actually worked football half that season. Talk about your time in Athens and what you enjoyed, not only being a student there, but also transitioning into when you were a professional there as well.
So I started college at the University of Georgia in January 2016, up until December 2018. And when I started, I was a transfer student, and I was at Kennesaw State. I was much closer to the city before. And so moving to Athens and being kind of out in the country, farther away from home, I was a little more isolated. All my friends were still in Atlanta or Kennesaw, you know, closer to the city. And I didn't know that many people in Athens. So I would just wake up, go eat, go to my art classes, and go home. And I was honestly really bored because there's not that much to do in Athens, especially if you don't know anybody. So my roommate at the time was telling me, she was a tutor for athletics. And I was like, you know what, this is a big football school. I need to get a job. I need to do something to get out of the house. And I bet you if there's a, you know, football team, they need a designer. Like, they need creative for something. And it wasn't that I like loved sports, because what was ironic is the entire time I was there, a lot of the people that I worked with would make fun of the fact that I would never go to the games as a student, or like even because I worked there, because I'm like, I don't want to go. I just like making the graphics and I like going home. But it was just more so I wanted a job that was not just working at anywhere. I wanted anything that I did extracurricular to have to do with developing myself for my career. And since it was a football school, I felt like that's a huge platform and opportunity. I didn't even know what sports design was. I'd never seen sports graphics design. I just knew, like, I'm a designer. They have a football team. Something has to, like, something's got to shake here. And so I emailed at the time Hannah Brinks. She was the first graphic designer that they had, and they had just hired her in March, and I think I emailed her in May of 2016 just by chance. And her and this other person that worked there, Lukeman, they called me in for an interview over the summer and told me basically, because of like the illustrations that I had, because I had done so much drawing and painting, and I started doing like digital illustrations, that was going to be great for recruiting. That's the same, like the thing that Lukeman kept saying. He was like, oh my God, like the recruits would love this. Like we gotta get her doing these for these edits and blah, blah, blah. So they thought that was really cool. So I started in August 2016 when the new school year started, and all I did all day was just illustrations of recruits, like constantly for hours, every single day for an entire semester. But that was kind of how I got my intro to working there with Georgia football. And I used Illustrator all the time. I still barely touched Photoshop. But after, you know, those illustration projects kind of got run through, I started doing a lot of Photoshop stuff and getting like more and more involved with helping out with the team. And so at that point, instead of just eating, going to class and going home, I was eating, going to class, going to work at Georgia football, and then going home. But what I loved about that was it kind of just gave me something else to do and a new way to meet people, because the art school kind of like, I mean, I was in art school and I'm quiet, but like those people are kind of like really quiet. Like I was not making friends there like that. So I ended up making them later. But at the time, it was just nice to just be around people who were like a little more social and just did a little more like the athletes. They have a bunch of personality and, you know, the coaches are great. So it kind of gave me something else to do. I started making more friends working there, but it kind of made my time in Athens a little more enjoyable because I just had something else that I was interested in that I was good at going on outside of school. So I loved that. I ended up staying there until I graduated. And around that time, my boss, she was kind of getting not overwhelmed necessarily, but just, you know how sports is, like it evolves over time. And like the recruiting photo shoots got, you know, bigger, and you know the coaches required more, and so eventually like you're going to need an assistant. She had been working by herself full time for years, and so she had really advocated for me to get hired on as an assistant after I graduated in December 2018. So they ended up bringing me on full time, and I was super excited. It was kind of funny though, because I don't think people realize I was full time because I was there all the time anyway as an intern. So I think like literally a year into me being full time, someone was like, did you graduate yet? I'm like, I've been working here I graduated a year ago. Like I work here full time. Like I'm an adult, guys. You know, I'm only 20, you know, 21, 22, but I'm an adult too. So it was fun when I first started, but then also being in Athens, I kind of realized after some time, like I'm getting older and everybody here is staying the exact same age because they're all in college. And I, you know, graduated at 22, so that's still relatively young, but I kind of felt like as I was getting to like 23 and 24, like you're gonna keep getting older, everyone's gonna stay the same age, and I wanted to move somewhere that was like a little bigger, a little bit more social life, where you're not running into like people that you work with and students and athletes everywhere you go. And I kind of at that time, even though I was only working 1 year full-time with Georgia, wanted to, you know, I had been there quite some time, like 4 or 5 years at that point. So I'm like, I want something new. So then I decided to make the move to Miami when I saw a job opening there.
If memory serves me correct, you were there when they had the coaching transition. So it was kind of some new vibes, but you were going from a successful program like Georgia to Miami. How was that transition for you?
What's funny is when I started at Georgia, Coach Richt had literally just left. And then when I started in Miami, Coach Richt had literally just left. So I've never worked with that guy, but I keep following him. So
amazing man.
That's what I hear. I've never heard a negative word about him. Everybody loves that guy. So going from Georgia to Miami was a huge culture shock. I also never, for some reason, just decided I never wanted to live in Florida. So I was like, you know, I'll take this interview. I don't even know why. I just decided that at some point in my life, but I decided, you know what, I'm going to take this interview. I'm going to go see what it's about. I want to try something new. Miami's a fun city. And everybody I was talking to about the opportunity was like, oh my God, like you have to go to Miami. It's going to be amazing. I went down for the interview. It was winter, so it was freezing in Georgia, and I stepped off the plane and I'm sweating and I'm like, oh my God, like this weather is beautiful. The city's beautiful. I felt like I was on a recruiting visit. I was walking around campus and it was great. And atmosphere wise, it was just so different from Georgia that was a huge draw for me, because I kind of felt like, I mean, I'm from Georgia. I was born and raised, same area. I worked at UGA for years. I just like needed a change of scenery. I just wanted something different. And I was like, you know what, I might hate it. But one thing my last boss told me was, you know, if you don't like it, you know, always at least give yourself a year somewhere, because a year goes by so quickly. So always at least give somewhere a year. So I'm like, you know what? If I don't like it after a year, I'll just go. And I ended up loving it. And that was something that someone had said to me at the staff that I was previously on at Georgia. Well, why would you want to go there? Don't you want to be a part of a successful program? And I told them, like, I just wanted something that, one, I built of my own, because I had been working with Hannah for so long. I kind of felt like it was like her car, and she was driving it, and I was in the passenger seat, and I wanted to be the one driving the car. And, you know, even though Hannah had at that time just left, I wanted to be the person to kind of like develop some sort of program creatively, and have my name on and put my stamp on it. And I just wanted a change of scenery. And also, the one thing that I loved about Miami is that my duties were like severely scaled back. And I was working a ton at Georgia. I still worked a lot at Miami as well, but it just, I kind of just felt like the work-life balance was a lot better. And to me, I would rather, and I've always preached this even like early into my job, which is crazy, is I've always prioritized work-life balance and happiness and being able to spend time with family over the success of a program. And then always, you know, like, I mean, Georgia just went to the national championship. They're about to go now. Like, of course you have FOMO. Like, I mean, I really could have stayed there and then I could have a ring, but I'm like, yeah, but you know, what's crazy is when I went to Miami, I was able to see my family more than when I was in Athens, living an hour and a half down the street. I flew home like almost every single month in Miami because I just had the flexibility to do that. And just even being able to do that to me was more valuable than being a part of a successful program. I love my family. I love being around my family. That's one of the most important things to me. So being able to have a great work-life balance where I'm able to see them even though I'm so far away was like a blessing. So, and that's one thing that I also really loved about Coach Diaz, is kind of that he would really, he really did believe in work-life balance. He was a really good guy. Not was, he is a really good guy. And that's one of the things I really appreciated because I genuinely felt like he cared about everybody's like well-being.
I love hearing about the work-life balance side of things. And on your site, you say that you like finding other creative outlets on top of your illustration, graphic design. Is there anything that you do on the side to get your creative juices going that feels like it's not work for you?
I haven't in a really long time, which is something that I do really need to get back into. But what I used to do before I had moved to Miami and then a little bit after I stopped working at Miami, before I started working at Vayner, I was painting a lot. And that's something that I really, really love because I feel like, you know, you have your phone, I'm looking at two computers right now, I have a TV, like, and if I stop working, I'm probably looking at some sort of screen. And that's kind of why I like drawing and painting, because I feel like it's something that I'm doing that I don't need like an electronic to complete. And it's something where it's like, there's no start or finish. I can make something as crazy or as simple as I want it to. It's just nice, simple. And it's kind of just, for me, it takes me back to the basics of creative. That's how I started. And also working in a different medium, it kind of helps inspire creative work that I've done. You know, I might paint something or draw something or sketch something and then end up using that as an element in a design. So, you know, in ways it can help you out with, you know, like getting your creative juices to flow, but also kind of taking a break from staring at a screen and making graphics all day or even looking at inspiration online.
What other hobbies do you like to tap into that kind of help fuel your creativity?
I'll say it's kind of the opposite. So I don't really feel like I do too much outside of working specifically to fuel my creativity. The best thing for me is to be creative. I can't be burnt out or exhausted. So I like to do things that will just completely take my mind off of things related to work or things centering around work. As I said before, I don't really watch sports, so I don't watch sports often because whenever I'm watching them or whenever I watch like a college football game, to me, it feels like work and mentally it stresses me out. So I don't like to do that. I mean, like, if a Georgia game is on, like, I'll probably watch that because I went to Georgia. But outside of that, like, I don't watch sports. I'll usually do something like hot yoga because it requires a lot of focus. Like, you're not really thinking about much else except for, like, let me not pass out while I'm in this room and embarrass myself. So, you know, like, I just like to do things that completely block out any other possible thoughts you could have because I can truly relax. And I feel like relaxing helps me be the most creative because I'm not stressed out. I'm not feeling pressed for time for anything. I'm not overthinking anything. It's kind of like, you know, that idea of when you're working on something, just stop, come back to it an hour later after you haven't looked at it, and maybe you'll see something different that you didn't see before. For me, that's like mental resets help me be more creative. So hot yoga, watching a movie or watching TV and just like not thinking about work and like focusing on a story of something, that also helps as well.
Would you say the importance of resetting mentally and like quietness from the exhaustion of creativity actually helps refuel you as well? Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, like I said, I don't watch sports, but some people it'll be like they finish with their jobs and they get on Twitter and they tweet about graphics all day, they tweet about sports all day. You know, people will finish their work and then hop straight on to Twitter, and it actually agitates me when I have too much sports content up because it just reminds me of work. Or if I see, like, you know, a post notification from like Next Gen Sports or something, or I see something from another agency, it just gets you thinking about work. And then I see something, you know, from insert agency name here, and I'm thinking, oh, we should do something like that, or oh, this would be really cool if, oh, we forgot that opportunity. And I don't want to see that. That's going to stress me out. Then I'm still thinking about work. And then also, I kind of feel like I don't want to look to Twitter or social media or things like that, because I'm always going to see something that might inspire or kind of like influence what I'm working on. And I like to step into things with like a fresh mindset, if that makes sense. So looking at as few sports related things as possible for me is best. And if I'm ever looking for inspiration, like to fuel inspiration, I usually look to fashion or things centered around fashion, because I personally feel like for sports related things, to like a lot of stuff just looks so the same and recycled. And I'm saying that acting as though I am not someone who does that, and I am 100% someone who does that, because, you know, if you have a thing that works, you keep doing it. But drawing inspiration from something that is not sports related or not another team or another sports designer, like going to fashion and seeing like, oh, you know, like Gucci just did this amazing runway show and these were the graphics in the background, and or I was at a Future concert and I love the way that the visuals looked in the background on the screen, like stuff like that, like drawing inspiration from real life and things away from sports. Even inadvertently, like, you know, if you're out, like, you just snap pictures of stuff that you see. Like, I've done that when I've been out in Miami or at the beach and stuff. I'll take pictures and then not with the intention of, oh, let me go out and take pictures for this graphic. It's like, oh, I'm, like, at the beach relaxing, you know, taking my mind off of things. And I took a picture of the ocean. I like the way the water looked. And so I use that in a graphic for, like, a recruit, you know, stuff like that.
I love that it's your perspective, because I think it's a big challenge to take somebody in sports who's solely focused on sports and push them outside of it. I feel like you're the opposite. I mean, the fact that you went to Miami and didn't really mind that the football team wasn't as good, because that wasn't your focus. It was about the graphics. It was about the opportunity to push yourself. So now that you're leading or director of creative services at Vayner, how do you see sports content and the world that you see outside being able to influence your work and kind of bringing those two things together?
So one project specifically isn't relative to Vayner. This was something I did at Miami, but, you know, Miami is a huge fashion city, and well, just creative city in general. And also fashion is a big part of that. And we had a recruit who was like, he was African, but he, you know, he was born in Africa, but he was like raised in France. He was super into fashion, like super flashy. That was like definitely his thing. And one of the things, especially working in recruiting, I feel like it makes you a resourceful designer. You have to think of so many different ways to just appeal to kids. And also, like, I mean, I'm relatively young, but not super into pop culture, so it's kind of interesting. But, you know, in whatever way I can, I do have to soak those things up to make sure that I'm staying relevant to the things that they like. And so one of the things that I did was I incorporated a bunch of just Miami like hotspots into recruiting graphics that we sent to him, as far as like, you know, things that related to fashion or art, like the design district, like really cool places to go and shopping, and kind of just like presenting to this kid like, oh, like Miami is a world of resource for fashion. And, you know, if you want to be put on the map fashion wise or have a bunch of resources to be able to like, you know, go out and do a photo shoot or like get some pictures or just be around these designer shops that you like to shop at, like you can do that here. And that was something that not that no one recognized, like all the coaches knew he was flashy, but when I came, like when he came to campus and I met him in person, I'm like, this kid like is, it's not like mainstream fashion. Like, he's very unique with it. And I was like, I think he would really appreciate, instead of all these graphics of just him, like in football uniforms at, you know, Hard Rock Stadium, like he would love something in Wynwood, like with a cool picture from some pictures off of his Instagram, collage together, like with the Wynwood walls. And he loved, like one of the things I made for him, he loved it, like loved it. And I think that was one of the only things from Miami that he posted of all the stuff we sent that was football related. He posted the one fashion one. So, that one I think is a little more specific, but that I think is just kind of like tying personal interests and things outside of sports into a creative piece that I think was really successful. And like, it might not have been the best graphic I ever made, but you know, if it resonates with who it's supposed to resonate with, then it's successful. And so as far as like bringing elements in, like from a Gucci show or whatever, I remember when I was working at Georgia, we had a recruit come and we kind of basically got the go ahead to do whatever we needed to do that was humanly possible to get this kid. So like we blew creative like way up. And one of the things that I had seen in a performance from a musical artist, and I cannot remember who it was they were standing on this like lighted platform that it this bright light basically, where, you know, a lot of the lights around them are pretty low, black background, but you know, the light board is kind of the main focus. And so that was something that I had proposed that we do as a part of like elevating these photo shoots. Hey, why don't we order like a light platform for the kids to stand on? This is something really cool that we could do. And it ended up being like a really popular photo shoot station. But that's just kind of something, you know, like implementing stuff that you see other places into creative and sports is really good, because I think that there's so many creatives in the world lending their craft to so many different outlets that it would be almost dumb to not look to things outside of sports for other creative. Your inspiration is everywhere. So, you know, something I saw in a performance for, I literally don't even remember what it was for, ended up being a huge hit with the recruiting photo shoot that we did. And it's not something that, you know, was a unique idea. It's just, I happened to see it at the right time and pitched it and they were okay with it. And it ended up being a hit.
As a young creative, just thinking about going from a student at Georgia to full-time, then to Miami, you're still relatively young. Most of the people around you have been at places for a while. How do you get people to buy into those ideas of trying something different and kind of going outside the box or just stretching the box? How do you get them to buy into that?
I think one of the great things was, one, at Georgia, they really trusted creative to just be creative. I think one thing that's really important is, even if you're young, if you know what you're talking about, or if you're knowledgeable, or you can at least show them how it could be successful, like I don't need to probably like, you know, mock up the whole photo shoot, but if I just kind of like paint a picture for them and say like, it could be really cool, we could use it this way, and like paint a nice picture for the coaches, or, you know, whoever, like director of recruiting, whoever's in charge of approving ideas, especially when they cost money, that's kind of the most important thing. If you are knowledgeable about what you're talking about, you can get people to buy in. And I think starting off, I was really insecure about myself even, and I mean, I still am to this day. I don't think that I'm the world's greatest designer. I just think I'm like average at making graphics, to be quite honest with you. But even if you're not the best, you still have good ideas. And I think that if you know what you're talking about, and people trust you, that they can recognize that. It's not like I walked in, you know, to Georgia 2016, my first day, and I was like, let's do this for a photo shoot. And they're like, oh, that's amazing. Let's do it because Dom said, let's do it. Like, no, I mean, as a full-time employee, I'd been there 4 years. You know, they knew me, they knew my work, they had seen what I had done for them already. And that's another thing too, your reputation with the people that you're working with. They trust you if they know you and they know that there's value behind what you do. And so when I got hired at Miami, I think I was 23. And everybody there was like, oh my God, I thought you were like 32, 34, because I just present myself so much older than I actually am. I've gotten that from a lot of people. And I think it's just about the way that I carry myself. They just felt like I was very serious when I went into meetings. I was extremely prepared. And so they trusted me and what I was doing and the suggestions I made because I was confident in what I was telling them that I thought we should do. Or if I have an idea, they trusted my skill to execute successfully. So they saw my work. They saw my portfolio. You know, I built a reputation for myself. So even though I'm still young. So, you know, even though I'm still young, even at the time, I just had this large body of work and large amount of things that I had done. So going into my second job, they saw all this stuff I did at this major, major program. And they're thinking, oh, she can come here and like help us out and do this here as well. And so that's why they trusted me, because of what I had at Georgia. And Georgia, I had to build that trust over years. So I worked in Miami for 2 years. I worked at Georgia full time for 1 year, but I was there for 3 years as an intern. Like all of that time, you just kind of have to lay the foundation for your reputation, basically. And then once you kind of have a solid foundation for this is what I can produce, this is what I can make, this is how I am, this is what I represent, and this is how I show up to the things that you know want me present at, that's when people will buy in and trust you based off of the way that you present yourself and the work you have to show for it.
We haven't touched on Vayner much. Talk us through what your role is there, what kind of work you all do as a company.
So Vayner Sports is a sports agency. We work closely with Vayner Media, which was started by Gary Vaynerchuk, and Vayner Sports, his brother, AJ Vaynerchuk, is our co-CEO along with Greg Gensk, and he is an MLB agent out in California. They started this agency about 5 or 6 years ago, and it's really grown, and they're continuing to grow and scale up dramatically. But we represent MLB clients. We have UFC fighters, combat division, gaming, consulting, NFL, NIL. And I know they're only going to be doing more from there. So we represent a bunch of professional athletes. We also represent college athletes, men, women. And a lot of what we do, our consulting division and marketing work hand in hand to bring brand deals and do activations for our athletes, which is a really unique opportunity. And then I work with marketing as a part of Creative Services to help do pitch decks for meetings that we have, decks to pitch to brands, decks for clients, creative for clients. If clients have events or their foundations or, you know, charity functions that they're working on, I would help with creative for that. Logos, social media graphics, videos, highlight clips, you know, transfer portal graphics, literally anything under the sun that they need, I touch on. And I do that across all of the divisions. So when we have fights, working on those announcements for MLB, that's something that was completely new to me because I had only ever worked in football before. So learning a baseball schedule with a million games is like really, really new to me. And this was my first year doing that. So that's been interesting. But I really love it because I like being able to work with a plethora of sports, and it's been a huge learning curve for me because all I have ever done is college football. And even with, you know, the NFL, it's not that different for me. The schedule is just different, but that's one thing that I really love about working at Vayner is I can do a bunch of different types of projects with a bunch of different types of clients on a year-round basis. It's not, you know, eventually it'll get to be the same thing like how it was with recruiting, where you have that really set yearly schedule of this happens at this time and this happens at this time. But it's kind of nice because the things that you're working on can have a lot of range because they're for so many different sports or so many different divisions and so many different types of projects. It's not all always like football centered, which is nice.
I'm curious how you approach with having so many different sports. Is your style, are you starting to develop a style that's a little bit different per sport? Are you going for an overall look for the agency? How do you approach that?
So ideally, one look across the entire agency, but there have to be different points per division to distinguish, whether that's like a logo lockup or something. But we're not actually there yet. And that's one of the things that I really want to focus on. I took the position and I'm the only designer they have on staff. And so the way that that usually goes, which is the same as how it was at Miami, is you're working on so many different things, you barely have time to plan and, like, you know, do even just administrative stuff. So I feel like one of the things that I hate is that I have not had as much time as I would have loved to develop the brand that I really want to have with Vayner Sports. And one of the great things about them is that they're really receptive to being able to have me kind of take a pause and go back and redevelop instead of just getting so, you know, focused on, let's just get this done. I can now take a step back and be like, hey, okay, we're going to rebrand all of this. We're going to do a new look for this division. We're doing a new look for this. And kind of just having the room to experiment and see what works with all the staff there.
As a designer, you told us that you started getting into art in sixth grade. You had a great teacher that you took all the way through high school. And then you decided to major in graphic design and kind of went that path and still like to paint and do art on the side. And now you're also interested in the UI UX design. Can you give us a little bit of a background on why you got into it and why you're interested in it?
UI UX?
Yeah.
So when I went to school at Georgia, I think it was my second semester starting there, we had this guy come in, his name's Matt Smith, and he's a really good UI UX designer. He taught a course there, and that was my first introduction to it. And I remember I was talking to my dad, and he was like, you have to stick to this. Like, this seems like, you know, well, I had explained the class to him, and he was saying, you know, well, you know, where is this industry going? And I told him that I think it's going to be a really big industry at some point. And he was like, well, you got to stick with it. Like, at least learn something about it. So, you know, at the time when you decide that you want to do it, you're not left in the dust. And, you know, something you never love to say is like, oh, my parent was right. But he was right, because now, years later, I have this interest to do UI UX, and I'm miles behind everyone. And so the way that I kind of gotten reintroduced to it was after I left Miami, I was speaking to my friend who was a software developer, and she was kind of explaining what she does and how the team that she works with, what they do and how everybody fits together and what their roles are. And when I was looking for a new job, I just kept seeing UI UX designer, you know, product designer, project manager at XYZ tech company. And I kind of just saw that there are, you know, a lot of positions that were opening up for that exact career field. And one of the reasons also why I left college football was I felt like at some point I was going to want to do a career shift. And I didn't know when. I just kind of knew that, like, that schedule for working with college athletics, like, I was beyond done with it. Just because of the way that, you know, I said that, you know, Manny Diaz, like, he really did offer up a lot of time for, you know, work-life balance, but even still, it's college football. So there's just certain things that are off limits. Like, you know, you got to go to the bowl games and you got to do this and the season starts at this time and then you got to recruit all this month. And, you know, I was tired of doing that. Even though it hadn't been as long as some people do it, I was tired of doing it. It wasn't working for me anymore. And I knew that at some point I was going to want to make a shift. And if I ever wanted to change careers, I could not work in college football because I wasn't gonna have the free time to be able to do that. I always put my all into it, and I kind of wanted a job where I could scale back. I worked for Carnival Cruise Line in between when I was working at Miami and when I started at Vayner. And I loved that job for that reason. One, the people were super nice, and I actually enjoyed it. It was, you know, like, it was simple. Like, it was kind of nice to take like a huge mental break. You know, like, the designs were simpler. It's not taking me like 3 hours to make a simple graphic. Like, it, you know, it takes me, you know, 20 minutes. Like, it was nice. And in that time, I picked up doing UI UX because I just kept seeing all of these job postings. My friend had explained to me how things worked at her company, and I just got really interested in it. It was just something new to try, something new to do, and just something other than sports. I felt like after I left Miami, I just was looking for literally anything outside of sports to just distract myself with. And I ended up really liking it and enjoying it and seeing like the career trajectory of the people that are in that field and how they like their jobs and the type of work that they do. And it was just like a nice change for me. And, you know, I've not gotten into the field yet, but I've been studying to try and gain knowledge in it. And it was just, to me, it just, I'm not sure how it will be when I actually start in that field, but I just really wanted to do something different. So that's why I started studying in that field. My friend had recommended it to me, and she seems to really love her job and what she does. And I talked to some other people that I just happened to meet coincidentally who do the same thing, and all of them love their jobs. So it kind of just, you know, gassed me up even more to want to learn more about it. So I'm currently studying to get certified by Google.
That's awesome. What are the primary differences in graphic design versus UI UX?
So what's funny is my friend who is a software developer, she was telling me, she was like, the designs that I've seen you make are so much more intricate than a lot of the stuff that UI UX designers do, which kind of made me feel like, oh, I could definitely do it because I make mockups for, you know, random, like for even for a recruiting graphic, like, you know, sometimes if I can't get a screenshot of what I need, I have to build a mock-up of, you know, like of a user interface to create the effect I need for a graphic. I just do it in Photoshop instead of Figma. And so I've built a lot of user interfaces over time. I've used Adobe XD. I've started using Figma because that's, you know, the industry standard, which I didn't know. I thought, you know, because I'm a designer and I use Photoshop, that Adobe was the industry standard, and it's not for UI UX. But I've built so many wireframes for projects in college, for random recruiting projects over time, that I kind of felt like I had a pretty basic understanding of how to create wireframes. There's a whole thought process though behind it, which is what the user experience designers do, is they are the people who research and gather data on whatever it is that they're researching as far as like, you know, the app design or the customers that are going to be using it. And then they inform the design team, the interface designers, on their findings so that they can create the most successful prototypes and wireframes that end up being developed by the software developers and then put out to the consumer to use. So it's kind of like a multi-step process with this really intensive thought and research behind it. Then you step into the design phase after it's a bunch of trial and error. So you go back and forth before you actually end up with the final product. But I liked the idea of this more thought-centered design rather than just, oh, let's just make this because it looks cool. It's kind of like, oh, well, we're designing this way because it fits our audience best if XYZ occurs at this point. And this is how many screens we have to get until we get there. And it's not just, it is trial and error, but it's not just random either. I kind of liked that. I feel like a lot of the graphics that I've made, even though they are, you know, like they're thought out by me, but there's not like a bunch of like thought behind it. I'm just like, this looks cool. I just want to do this. And I kind of like the challenge of having to do a lot of research before you start a project.
Sounds kind of like the football player at Miami that you were talking about with, you know, taking what he likes and delivering it back to him in a way.
Yeah, instead of just making something random off the cuff, it's like, let me put a lot more thought into what I'm making for you and then do some trial and error until I figure out what's the most successful for this player.
Up until this point, what would you say have been some of your favorite projects to work on?
So my favorite project, and I always tell people this, is my Jalen Ramsey logo. So back when I was still in college when I did this, and I was working with this company. It was called Sproxt at the time, and now it's called Sports Veins USA. But what I did with them was I was their designer, and anytime they had clients that they were pitching to, they would do like branding and marketing for NFL athletes, athletes fresh out of college, like about to go to the draft, MLB, and then also like local teams around Atlanta. But they would pitch to, you know, professional athletes, and I would do a logo, I'd mock up a website, and then I would mock up some merch for them, and the company would like make the logos, I would make the logos. Then they would you know, we would brand the athletes, we would build their website, we would also produce the merch that we would also market through the website. So they did, it was like a one-stop shop. And so Jalen Ramsey was someone that they, I can't remember if they just pitched business to him or if they actually like closed a contract. 'Cause after I make my stuff, like I don't really get into the weeds of that, but I put together a bunch of options for him. And this was when he was still at the Jaguars. And once again, like I am not that big into sports. I just see a name and I see a number and I'm like, okay, Jalen Ramsey plays for the Jaguars, JR. Okay, cool. I'll make a logo for him. And I'm not knowing like who he is or his career or whatever by any means. I just make the logo and I'm like, oh, that was cool. Pass it off. So then a few years later, I think maybe like 2 or 3 years later, I think he had just signed with the Rams or something. Like I just seen something and he was wearing a chain. And I was like, I made that. I'm like, I definitely made that logo. And I was like, wait, did I? So I went back in my files. I'm like, yeah, I made that. And I had no idea he had been using it for all this time because after the project was over, I just didn't really keep up with it. I just, you know, I just kind of moved on. And it was, he had a bunch of chains made out of it. He had merch made out of it. He was using it on his page. And that was the intended purpose, of course. Like I wanted him to use it. I wasn't, you know, like upset or anything. I just was like shocked that such a big athlete I had done branding for. And it was successful and he was using it and he really loved it. And then also it was just something that I made really early in my design career that I didn't even think was that successful. But looking back at it now, like, I mean, I'm not trying to be conceited or anything, but it's like, it's a pretty solid idea. Like it's a pretty solid logo design. It's a J and an R and a football shape. And I really love it. And I love the like what he's done with it. So it's honestly incredible just to see, like, you know, he just won a Super Bowl. He's wearing the chain when he's signing to the Rams. Like he, it's everywhere that's, you know, touching Jalen Ramsey basically. And it's just really cool that I was the one that did that. So every time I think about it, it's honestly just like one of those moments where you just get really proud of yourself. And I never even talked about it for the longest. Like I just saw that he had used it, but I didn't tell anybody. I don't even think I had it on my website at any point in time. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was like, do you know who Jalen Ramsey is? Like, you got to promote that. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess, whatever. So then I tweeted it and I never tweet. So, you know, I think kind of just like also seeing people's reaction to it helped me realize like, oh, that was actually a really big deal. And, you know, you should gas yourself up because you should be proud of it. And I'm just not that person to really just be like, oh, I did this and I did that and I did that. But the one thing I will gas myself up on is that I made Jalen Ramsey's logo and he uses it all the time and he has yet to send me a chain. So I'm just saying.
Jalen, let's get that chain. I'll make some phone calls and we'll make that happen. On the same subject of work that you're proud of, talk about the project that you partnered with the Heartland Group on for the Women Professional Hockey League.
Yes. So I am currently working with the Heartland Group, and they are the agency of record for the PHF, which is a Women's Professional Hockey League. They hired the Heartland Group or partnered up with them and myself to do rebranding for this entire season. So their season just recently started, and I have a relationship with Elliot Girard there. And I've done projects with him in the past. He's extremely talented and he's their creative director and he's serving as creative director for this project as well. And he brought me in for the design aspect and we've worked together on this project. And so everything social media template wise, brand new look and feel, like that's what we've put together and we've created. And they really wanted like, you know, a female designer's perspective and that's why they came to me. And I was really nervous because I had never done hockey before. I know nothing about hockey, so I was super nervous. But when we kind of had our first like brainstorming session and I put together some mood boards and we kind of just like worked through ideas, it ended up becoming this really successful, in my opinion, you know, like creative campaign that we've put together that's their new look and feel for the next, you know, at least year until next season if they decide to change things up. But I just work on a lot of the overarching like creative design stuff for them with like heavy input from Elliot. He has, you know, like I've made stuff and I think it looks great. And then he offers, you know, his opinion and gives me some creative feedback and it like elevates it even more. So that's something that I've actually really enjoyed, because even just simple stuff that he suggests just like elevates the design like 10 times more than it was before. So I've really loved working with him. I've loved working with the Heartland Group and our project manager, Keith Stuckler. They're just an amazing team. They're incredibly creative. They have a bunch of different types of projects that they work on, completely independent of the PHF. And I'm just super happy to have been involved in this one in particular. So they're amazing, honestly. And working with the PHF has been great too. It's just really cool to do something different than what I've been doing before.
We've talked about how much you've been able to accomplish in such a short amount of time. Looking back, what is some advice that you would give to your younger self, but also what advice would you give to aspiring creatives who are looking to not just follow in your footsteps, but finding their path in this creative industry?
One thing that I would say to my younger self is there is always going to be a time period in your career where you're going to need to grind. And for me, that was when I first started out at Georgia. Like, you don't say no to any job. Like, no task is beneath you. I'm an intern. I'm here to learn. I'm here to grind. I'm here to work. Then there is also being in that period of time, but having respect for your boundaries as far as what you will and won't do in terms of managing your own time and making sure, like, you know, one thing that I've done as someone who had interns after I got, when I was lead intern at Georgia and then also full time, was like, I was really respectful of the fact that, like, you know, they didn't get much to be there, and I did not want to overwork them to the point where they kind of were burnt out. Like, school is a number one priority. Like, Georgia football will be fine if so-and-so is not cooking up recruiting graphics. Like, we'll handle it. We'll figure it out. And the reason why I did that was because no fault of anybody's there, but, like, I bit off so much more than I could chew so many times, and they kept sending me work because I let them as an intern. And, you know, I'm like, I don't want my schoolwork to suffer for this, because I have to graduate at the end of the day to even be able to qualify to get a job. So just making sure that even in that grind phase, that you're setting boundaries for yourself, that you're not working yourself out to be too exhausted, too tired to, you know, do anything else. And then once you become, you know, like a full-time employee, it's the exact same thing. Like I said, you're laying the foundation to show what type of reputation you have and work hard and you know, develop a program. But at the same time, you are allowed to say no to things. Not every idea needs to be executed. Not every idea has to be executed right in that moment. Someone can really wait a week or two. Like, you know, people will run into your office acting like, you know, it's life or death that they get this graphic in the next 15 minutes when they knew about it a week ago and didn't say anything until 10 minutes ago. So, you know, like, the thing was when I first started, I felt like I was such a huge failure every time I didn't get something finished. And then I had to sit back and be realistic. I'm like, well, you know, that was a 4-hour project that they asked me for. That was a 2-hour, 3-hour photo shoot that I had basically no notice on. Why am I upset that it's late? You know, like, I'm getting stuff last minute. I need to give myself some grace. Like, I'm doing the best I can with what I have and the time that I have. And, you know, I'm still trying to make things happen. And that goes for any task, like whether it's, you know, recruiting centered or even an agency. If you come to me and you're like, I need this really, really quickly, and I have 5 million other things on my plate, and I still happen to get it done, like, I'm not going to beat myself up because it's not perfect. Like, I don't want to say, you know, dish out like half done work, but give yourself some grace in that you're doing the best that you can. Know that you're doing the best that you can. I always felt like if I didn't get something done, or if what I made wasn't perfect, that I was just like the biggest failure. And it kind of really knocks on your self-esteem, where it's like, you know, I feel like I'm not a good designer because everything I make looks rushed. And I'm like, well, everything I make is rushed because they give me like 50 things to do a day. So how am I supposed to do it all? I can't work 24/7. You have to be realistic. And a lot of the best ways to kind of, in my opinion, try to avoid getting burnt out or producing half-done work is just setting boundaries and being really realistic with the people around you about, one, the time that it takes to do stuff, or, you know, just letting them know, hey, I have XYZ on my plate. You know, if you want to tell, you know, head coach that this isn't getting done because you need this low graphic for a binder cover, like, you can go and tell him that, but, you know, this is what I have on my plate. So I'll get that done. I'll take care of that when I have time to. But setting boundaries is really important. You can work hard, but you can also set boundaries. It is not the end of the world if the recruit doesn't like the graphic. It is not the end of the world if the coach doesn't like the graphic. It is not the end of the world if the skin tones aren't perfectly the same. Like, it, no one is going to die. And I feel like a lot of designers just put so much, like, of their self-confidence into the, well, any artist, really, actually. I mean, designer, videographer, whatever. Like, you can have a bomb video, bomb graphic one day, and then the next day, it's not hitting the same, you know? And you shouldn't beat yourself up over that, because it's just, the next day you can make, you know, Jalen Ramsey's logo, and the day before you made some, like, trash logo that no one's going to use or remember ever. And so, like, everyone's going to have good days. Everyone's going to have bad days. Don't let, honestly, anybody that you work with stress you out to the point where, you know, like, I mean, at one point I was stressing out so much I was losing hair. I never want to get to that point. Like, I had to set boundaries. I'm like, I can't work 24/7. I'm exhausted. I have to sleep. Like, I want to go to bed. So, you know, work isn't everything. The graphics are not life and death. They will get done tomorrow. Like, take time for yourself. Set boundaries with your workplace. Set boundaries with yourself. For me, setting boundaries is not watching sports and not going on Twitter and looking at graphics. I'll get off if I see too much sports stuff. I just have to do that. It stresses me out. I don't want to look at that at nighttime. So, you know, when I'm trying to go to bed and, like, not think about work, I'm going to turn on TV and think about something completely different. So setting boundaries and not biting off more than you can chew and things of that nature, I would give that advice to anybody starting out, to myself when I was younger, to, you know, it could have saved me a lot. And, you know, I was really knocking on my confidence. Like, I thought everything I made was trash. And it's just like, well, I've just been staring at the same thing for, like, weeks on end. So that's probably why I don't think it looks great. It's not new to me. And it was probably fire anyway, so.
So grinding with grace, setting boundaries, and being realistic would be your advice.
Yes, you perfectly consolidated all of that.
Where can people find your work, and how could they follow your path forward on social?
So I do have a Twitter, and my handle is @Dominique_Nwoko, DominiQue _Nwoko. And then I also have an Instagram. It is @IamDominiqueTN. And then I also have a LinkedIn, and I also have a website, and my website is dnwoko.myportfolio.com. I usually post work to there, anything that I'm working on, freelance, full-time, past work, hopefully future work. I'll tease projects on there. And I try and keep up to date on all of those, but, you know, as a designer, I feel like, or creative in general, one of the hardest things is compiling your work and putting it into a portfolio in a timely manner. So it's missing projects, but all of my stuff is, for the most part, sprinkled across there.
Well, awesome. Dominique, we really do appreciate you taking out the time to share your journey with us, share some nuggets on how to, you know, grind with grace and set boundaries and being realistic and stop calling yourself and your work trash. So thank you. You're one of the rising stars, but also one of the current stars and hopefully a future star in our industry. So we definitely appreciate you being here with us.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to share any knowledge that I have and be a resource to people.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions. So pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.